Phyllis Jahorn Johnson. She's going to come and share the word of God with us. She's a very close friend of a very close friend of mine. And so let me just give them a warm, abundant light welcome as she comes to share God's word. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, you can do better than that. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 I am so honored and excited to be here with you this morning. Thank you so much, Pastor Vince, for having us. Amen. And Pastor Lisa, thank you so much for your hospitality. And we know that we are here by divine appointment. Amen. Amen. How many of you know God is able to connect you? Are y'all all right with my accent? Yes. Amen. Let me just give you a little precursor. I'm from a noisy crowd. When we preach, we believe in people talking back. Amen. So every now and then I may ask you to say, is that all right? That means to say amen. Is that all right? Amen. 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 So we thank God for the opportunity. We met Pastor Vince through Pastor Coconio in Nairobi, Kenya. We have a ministry, a nonprofit ministry called Harvesting of Souls. The Lord gave it to us about 20 years ago. I've been in the ministry for over 20 years. I may not look like it, but I'm married. I have two grown children and two grandchildren. Amen. Wow. Glory to God. Amen. And so we have been in the ministry some years, and we've been traveling to Kenya doing things to help further the community and also to reach lives and touch the hearts of vulnerable and orphaned children. And so Pastor Coconio told me, you have to meet this African-American brother. Amen. Amen. And so we were so delighted to connect with him and to Sister Lisa, and they've given us great hospitality, and we're so grateful to be here and just honored and humbled to be here. We had a great time yesterday walking around, and Michaelin was so excited. It was her first time in London. She's my spiritual daughter, and she's here, and I want to just have her come up and say hi to you, and you can hear her voice. Amen. She's of age. She can speak for herself. Amen.
Hi, everyone. My name is Michaelin. I am from Texas, and this is my first time in London, and I love it here. Like, I want to come back. Y'all are amazing, and I just love the culture here. Y'all are great people. And I'm Reverend Phyllis's spiritual daughter. I have a heart for the nations and for the missions, just as she does. And I'm excited to hear her preach, and you guys are going to be so blessed by hearing her. She's a powerhouse preacher.
Amen, amen. So again, I am saved and I love the Lord. He is my personal Savior. I like to give that testimony because a lot of times people can stand before you and you can assume, but I like to make that declaration. Amen. I love the Lord and I am saved. And He saved me and I'm here because of that. Amen. So we're of one family, regardless of denomination, regardless of color of skin. We're all His children and we have one Father. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So I want to bring a word to you this morning found in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn, or if you have it on your phones, it's all right with me. I know we live in a technology age. I want to bring a message to you from John, chapter 11. I'm going to read just a few verses of Scripture, and then I'll be preaching from this pericope. John chapter 11, starting at verse number 20. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. With emphasis on verse number 22, Martha said these words, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he will give it to thee. I want to talk to you this morning from the thought, even now, you can do it. Amen. Even now, you being God can do it. Max Lucado says that death has a way of unearthing our belief in God. Death has a way of bringing us to answer the question, what do we really feel about God? Death is an equalizer. It brings us to a place of whether we really believe God or we don't. Many times we question God when death arrives. We will say, why, God, did you take my mother? Why did you allow this to happen to my child? She was my only child. Why did you allow this sickness to occur? It was my only first or last born. It was my only child. How, God, could you allow this to happen? Many people, when death comes, will be angry at God. Not only will they be angry, but they will turn their backs on God and refuse to serve him. Death has a way of causing us to come to a place of, how do we feel about this God? It has a way of bringing us face to face with this reality. It's more than just saying we know him, but do we really, really trust him? Death, all of us, at some point or another, has to have dealt with death. We've had to deal with this measure of grief. We've had to deal with this measure of sadness. We've had to deal with this loss. Whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, emotional, whether it's finances, whether it's a job, whether it's relationships, this separation in life. Am I talking to someone this morning? All of us have had to come to that place of, how do we really feel about God? When I searched the text this morning, we find a very familiar passage of scripture. The story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, a family that Jesus loved very, very well. He visited them on many occasions. He loved them. He frequented them. He sat down and he ate with them. And people knew them as the family that Jesus loved. And here we find on this occasion in chapter 11 that Jesus now has departed away from Bethany. And all of a sudden, Lazarus gets sick. All of a sudden, Jesus is nowhere to be found. And Lazarus becomes sick. And the scripture tells us in verse number 2 that Mary and Martha sends a word to Jesus. That the one you love, they describe him. The one that you love has now become critically sick. The one that we fellowship with, the one that we know that you have a connection with, this special boy has now become critically sick. May I suggest to you and me that when critical issues come, there are some things that you don't need to send a word to Jesus for. When there are critical issues in our lives, I know it's good to have pastor to pray for us, and Mother Alicia, it's good to have you to pray for us, but there's some things in life when they're critical, you've got to get to Jesus for yourself. I've been walking this thing long enough, and I've had some things happen in my life, and I've been through a lot of things, but it's all right to have my pastor pray for me. But when it comes to critical issues, detrimental situations, things that look like my back is against the wall, worship leader, when it looks like there is no way out, there's some times that I got to get to Jesus for myself. Because when I looked at the text, it says, now Mary and Martha knew Jesus. They knew him very well. Lazarus knew Jesus very well. But instead of trusting their own instincts, they sent somebody else to Jesus. May I submit to you this morning that when things happen in my life, I can't trust you with them. I don't know how long it'll get you to get to Jesus. I don't know if you're going to cruise. I don't know if you're going to decide to go get something to eat. I don't know if you're going to go to sleep. But when my situation is critical, I can't put it in your hands, Pastor. I got to take it to the Lord in prayer myself. Because you realize that Jesus was only a few days away. But when you trust somebody else with your issue, it may not be a sense of urgency to them. When I tell you to pray for me, you may say, okay, I'll pray for Reverend Phyllis. But you may not pray right then. You may think about praying and forget and pray later. But I know my situation better than you do. When I need a breakthrough, an answer from God. When I need to press in, I know how to get on my knees and call on the name of Jesus. I really like the woman with the issue of blood. She had been sick for 12 long years. She was ceremoniously unclean. She had been locked away in her house. She could not come out because she had been hemorrhaging. She had a condition of bleeding. Everywhere she went, she was bleeding, and she could not be associated with anyone. I don't know if you know what it feels like to be ostracized. In other words, you're locked away. Nobody could touch you. Nobody could talk to you except from a distance. Can you imagine how lonely this woman was? Can you imagine for 12 long years she suffered in silence? Can you imagine for 12 long years all she could do was go to the doctor and beg for healing? She used everything she had looking for help until everything she had ran out. Her situation became critical. It became more critical. It became on ICU. It became on life support until one day she heard some noise in the village. Come on, somebody. In a little small village like this, Mother Lisa, she heard some noise. She heard some people talking about a man named Jesus. She heard some noise and somebody talking said, there's a man by the name of Jesus. And I've heard that he has healing power. Now, I don't know for sure, but I've heard he has some healing power. They weren't talking directly to her because she was locked away. But she had a keen sense of hearing. And from her locked in place, she heard somebody on the outside whispering about Jesus. May I submit to you this morning, you may not be in close contact, but if you have a listening ear, if you just listen, faith cometh by, come on somebody, and hearing by the word of God. She heard that Jesus was passing by. And can I submit to you this morning, all you have to do is hear. All you need to do is hear a word, and it will change. Come on here, it will change your destiny. She heard that Jesus was passing by. She had a condition. She was desperate. She made up in her mind, I don't care what people were going to say about me. I don't care that they call me unclean. My situation is critical. I'm not going to call Pastor to pray for me. I'm not going to call Mother Lisa to make me a garment. I'm going to get out this house myself. Because today is my day. Today is my day. Jesus will not pass me by. My condition is crucial. My condition is detrimental. If I don't get help today, I might as well die. But today is my day of deliverance. I know I'm talking to somebody in here today. Today is your day of deliverance. The woman got up and she heard Jesus was passing by. And the scripture tells us there was a multitude. There was a crowd of people. And she realized in her mind, well, I can't walk through the crowd because somebody may see me and say, that's the unclean woman. She said, I can't skip. I can't go around. So I gotta make my way to Jesus. So she decided, let me go as low as I can go. Let me get down on my knees. Let me find a way to get through. And as she realized, it don't matter how low you need to go. If your condition is desperate, you'll get down on your knees. It don't matter how good your clothes are. It don't matter how much you paid for him. If your condition is desperate enough, you'll get down on your knees. You'll get down in the dirt and you'll find your way through the crowd until you get to Jesus. It doesn't matter how much it takes. If you're desperate enough, if your condition is crucial enough, you're looking at me today and you got a condition that you've been dealing with. And only Jesus can fix it. But you got to be willing to get to him. Mary and Martha, they sent word to Jesus. I submit to you today, don't send nobody. Get to him for yourself. The Bible says, I don't know when exactly, but when Jesus got the word, don't know if it was one day, 2 days, don't know when, because they don't have no Facebook, no Twitter, no Snapchat, don't know when. But when Jesus got the word, I say, this sickness is not unto death. Point number two. It may look terminal, but it's temporary. It's critical. Mama, it may look terminal, but it's temporary. These light afflictions are just for a moment. You got to go through some things. I know it looks like it's going to take you out. What won't break you will bless you. What won't break you will build you up. It's temporary. It looks like you can't take no more. Mary and Martha watched Lazarus go from worse to worse until he died. Until he died and Jesus was not there. Some of us, we're wondering, God, I can't do it anymore. Everything around me is dried up. I go to put my money, my card in the bank. Get to the ATM, I can't pull any money out. Everything is dried up. I pick up the phone to call a loved one. They won't answer. Everything is dried up. I come to the church, I can't find no hope. There's no hope in the church. Everything is dried up. It's the last straw that breaks the camel's back. I can't do it anymore. He said, the sickness is not unto death. It's temporary. We got to go through some suffering. Paul says, I was beaten 5 times with rods and stripes, 40 times except one stripe, 39 times. I've been shipwrecked. I've been lost in the deep, perils in the wilderness, by friends, by enemies. I've been lost, but all that I might know him in the power of his suffering. If I know him in his suffering, I shall also reign with him. Come on, somebody. I got to go through some things. It may not feel good. May not feel good. It may not look good. You may not understand it. It doesn't make sense, Mom. When you were giving me your testimony of your daughter, it doesn't make sense why children or a child have to go through so much. And you have to watch them suffer. It's the dark seasons and the gifts in the season. You taught me so much the other day. I was listening. It strengthened me. When we go through dark times, we want to give up on God. We want to throw in the towel. I'm through. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. Can I tell you, when it doesn't make human sense, it makes God sense. Isaiah 55 says his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not yours and mine. As high as above the heavens is from the earth, so are his ways different than ours. It doesn't make sense. God has a tapestry and he's knitting it all together for our good. But you can't see it because all we can see is the now. James says, these sufferings, the working of our faith, it has to be tested in the trials. It has to be tested. You're in the furnace. Right now, you're in the furnace of your life. Can I call some witnesses? Can I call Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Can I just call them to the witness? May they come to the witness stand. May I interview and ask you, how were you able to stand in the furnace that was turned 7 times hotter? May I ask you, how were you able to stand? And I hear them resounding testimony saying, if God delivers us, he's God. If he doesn't, he is still. If he brings me through, he's God. If he doesn't, he is still. Jehovah. It's temporary. It's not terminal. Lazarus did indeed die, but it was temporary. Point number one, when it's a critical situation, you got to go to him by yourself, for yourself. Point number two, Jesus said, the sickness is not unto death. It's temporary, not terminal. Point number three, Jesus said, it is for the glory of God to be revealed. In other words, this situation is orchestrated, is divinely situated so that you can see the Christ in the crises. It's if I was an artist, I wished I could draw. It is divinely orchestrated so that here is the crises and the chaos. But if you was an artist, or if I was an artist, you will be able to see right dab in the middle is the Christ. In the midst of all of this confusion, in the midst of all of this stuff that doesn't make sense, there is another sea in the midst of the sea. And it is the Christ. He says, I'm setting it up so that my glory may be revealed. I want my glory on display. He said, it's only so that God's glory can be revealed. You remember the man that was born blind. And the Pharisees, when they were trying to trap Jesus, they went to this man. Jesus had healed him and said, do you want your sight? And he said, yes. Yes, I do. Jesus touched him and healed him. He went jumping and screaming and telling everybody, I was blind, but now I see. And the Pharisees found his parents and say, wait a minute, now this is a trick. Surely this is not the same boy that was born blind. And they said, yes, 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 it was. It was him. And he's jumping around telling everybody. So they were trying to trick Jesus and trying to throw Jesus into prison. They went to go get the parents, and they took the parents to the boy and said, now tell us the same thing. He said, all I know is I was blind, but now I see. The parents said, talk to him. He can speak of his own. He's of age. This Jesus, he gave me sight. I was blind, but now I see. He said, only for the work of God. Who sinned? Nobody sinned. He said, nobody sinned. It was only for the work of God, because the Pharisees believed that in order when sickness happened, somebody had to do something wrong. There had to be some sin somewhere. So they were trying to find from the parents who sinned, who did something wrong. No, 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 no. Something had to happen. Jesus said it was only to manifest his glory. So here we find Lazarus is sick. Jesus said it's only to display my glory. Watch this. After hearing the news, he delayed 2 more days. Watch what the scripture says. Pastor, this blew me away when I was studying. I said, my God. Verse number 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse number 6, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place. Watch this. Let me go back because you missed it. Now Jesus what? Loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse number 6, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 more days still in the same place. One more time. Verse number 5, now Jesus what? Loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place. Watch this. He loved them enough to delay his coming. Somebody that's heavy. Because when we call him, we want him to respond. He loves us enough to delay his coming. He could have rushed and said, let me go right now. But there was more that he wanted them to experience than healing. It was more to it than just a touch. He loved them enough to give them everything that he wanted them to have. See, we just want to touch and we want to run out of here. But there's so much more to him than just one touch. There's so much more to him than just healing. There's so much more to him than just forgiving. There's so much more to Jesus. He loved us so much that he delayed for 2 more days in the same place. Watch this. His disciples said, now, Master, you gonna go back to the same place where the Jews are trying to kill you? He says, Lazarus is sick. He's asleep.
They said, well, let's go wake him up. He said, no, let me make it plain. He has now died. And they said, let's go die with him. Not realizing they were walking with the resurrection. He said, it's good for me that you are here. So much more. He delayed so that he could display his power. Watch this. When he gets close, the scripture tells us that Martha runs out. Jesus, if you would have been here, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. If you would have just been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And watch what she says. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God, he will do it. But even now, after it's dead, after the impossibility, there's nothing left for you or me to do. When you get to the end of yourself, when you stop trying to figure it out, when you stop trying to work your magic, when you stop trying to network, when you stop trying to hook it up, he waited till you stop doing your own stuff. He waited. Now when you're done, he steps in. Because he wants his own glory to be revealed. Man cannot share God's glory. It's only him and him alone. When you stop working your own magic, put it down. He shows up. She says, even now, I know that if you ask God, he will do it. And Jesus said to her, he shall live again. And Martha says, I know in the resurrection, in the last day, he'll live again. I know that. And Jesus said in verse number 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Listen to what he was trying to tell Martha. He was trying to tell her that when faith and fact collide, when faith and fact collide, there's a difference in knowing and believing. When faith and facts collide, watch what the text says. She says, I know. Jesus said, do you believe? Y'all missed it. She says, even now I know. He says, do you believe? Fact says, I know this table exists. I know I'm here in this church. I know Lazarus is dead. He said, do you believe he'll rise again? The component of belief has to remain in hope. In other words, it's faith. Faith is the substance of things. Come on, somebody. You can know a lot of things, but Jesus said, I'm not interested in what you know. I need to know if you believe. I know that if you ask God, he can do anything. Jesus said, can you believe? I know you're the resurrection and the last day. He said, do you believe? She didn't get it. Like a lot of us, we miss it. I know Jesus. I know him as my Lord and Savior. Do you believe? Because it requires faith. Faith is the matter. It's the substance of things hoped for. That's the difference between knowing and believing. And watch this. Once he establishes that, she runs up. She can do anything. She went and got Mary. Mary, I'm confused now. Mary comes out of the house and says, Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. He said, do you believe the same thing? This family that he loved, that he had been with all this time, they knew him, but they didn't believe in him. I come to serve you. Notice, many of us are in the church. We know him, but we still don't believe. We're lacking miracles because we don't believe. You ain't got to say amen. I'll say it to myself. We're lacking miracles because we don't believe. We don't believe. We've been reading about him. We've been saved for years, Pastor. But do we really believe he's able? Do we believe he's able? Is he really the Son of the living God? Does he really have power to raise the dead? Is he really who he say he is? Mary, Martha, I've been with you all this time. Do you believe? He told Mary, show me where you laid him. Belief. Then he says, let me test your obedience. Roll away the stone. Belief requires obedience. Take away the stone. You put it there. Remove it. Now Jesus says, here is now my power on display. Jesus now demonstrates he is the resurrection. Death is a part of life, but death is not the end of life. Death is a part of life, but it is not the end of life. He says, Lazarus, come forth. One time, three things happened. Death responded. Lazarus, come forth. May I submit to you today, when you believe, everything that is holding you has to let you go. Even now, everything that's been holding you back has to respond. The grave had to respond. Jesus called Lazarus and the grave responded. Come on, somebody. He didn't speak to the grave. He called Lazarus and the grave responded. He calls you out. And everything that's been holding you back has to respond. There is no power greater than him. When he calls you, I don't care what it is holding you. It has to surrender to the power and the authority of Jesus. He said, Lazarus, and the grave shook. And Lazarus walked. He didn't struggle. He just came forth. Watch this. It responded. Michaelin, come here. Turn this way. When Lazarus came forth, hold your arms out. Together. He came forth hand bound, feet bound, hold your head back, with a napkin over his face. The grave responded, Lazarus came forth. But he was still limited. Y'all missed it. He came forth, but he was limited. He was constrained right there. He was loose but limited. Jesus spoke to three areas that he was limited. He spoke to what was holding his feet. May I submit to you, he said, loose him and let him go. What was holding his feet had to let him go because feet represents progress. Feet represents progression and possession. Come. Wherever you walk, wherever you put your feet, I will give. That's what Jesus, that's what God told Joshua. So I got to say, loose his feet. Because wherever you tread on, wherever you put your foot, I will give you authority. So he's telling him, when you move from this place, wherever you trod, I'm giving you authority. It's your possession. He spoke to his hands. He said, loose him and let him go. Hands represent your ability and capability. He says, whatever you commit your hands to, he will establish the works of your... Come on, somebody. Somebody has been limited in your work. Today, by the power of Jesus' name, your hands have been loose to work. The works of your hands have been established. Your possession and your progression has been released in Jesus' name. He had a napkin covering his face. Loose him and let him go. In other words, thank you, Michaela. He loosed his mental capacity. Bishop, you were preaching my message this morning. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Even if you are emotionally limited, today you are emotionally free. You are no longer bound. No more chains holding me. No more shackles. Behold, I am free. I'm free in my mind. I have no more issues. Let this mind be in you that was also. He spoke a word. There was a response. There was a release. Somebody flip to chapter 12. Close. Pastor Michaela, flip to chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 and read it for us so I can close this message. Even now, I believe you can do it. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. 6 days before the Passover. What? Jesus came back to Bethany. Right there. He came back to the same place, to the same house, to visit the same person who was dead. And what did it say? Where was Lazarus? Read the next verse. Lazarus was now restored. He was sitting at the table. He was restored completely. Him who was dead is now alive. Responded, released, and now restored. I submit to you today. Even now, after all that you've been through, I believe he can do it. Not only can he do it, but he can restore you. Back to your place of authority. Back to your place of where you've been, your prosperity, everything that you thought you lost, he can restore it. He can restore it. The question today, as I conclude and I call Pastor to pray for us, is even now, do you know him or do you believe him? He can do it. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, but it's according that works where? In us. If we can believe, today he's calling us out. Some of us have been struggling, waning between knowing and believing, wondering when it's going to be over. How long is it going to last? God, I'm tired. My back is up against the wall. I can't do this anymore. I submit to you today, even now. He can do it if you